morning, church family. How many of you have one of those? Almost everyone, right? Why do we invest so much money to have this phone with us? We want to be able to reach someone or to let someone reach and finds us, right? Everywhere that we go, we hear somebody either with this or something on their ears talking. And sometimes it's strange because we hear a person talk very loud. And there was a time when the people who did like this, they would have to take to a hospital or something because something was going wrong with them. But now it's normal to hear people talking. And then we realize when we look in their ears that they have a wireless and they are connected with the phone. So everyone now, most everyone has a phone. Why? Because you want to stay connected. Now, anybody here has a phone that only receives calls, but never you can never call somebody, you only receive calls? No, right? You have to have both functions. You need to be able to reach somebody, but also to be reached by somebody. Prayer is not any different. Sadly, sometimes we use prayer like a phone that can only call, but cannot receive calls. Would that be any good? No. So why do we sometimes keep treating prayer as if it was only one way deal? Prayer has to be able to connect with God and to God to connect with us. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. When you have something unique happen in your life, if something is very joyful, you like to contact somebody and share with somebody, right? Yes. Sometimes when something is going bad in your life, you select who you want to say, who you want to inform about what is going on. But we always reach out to share what is going on in our lives. God is telling us, pray about everything. I am interested to know everything about you. And I want you to know everything about me. I want you to stay connected. Okay? Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. By the way, there's a secret. The best way for us to get something is to be grateful for what we got. Sometimes we forgot the got, and we only think about the getting. And it doesn't work that way, okay? So today's message is I try to make as simple as possible the title, prayer. That is something that all of us, one way or the other, is relate to. One thing about prayer that I want you to be advised, it is very complex. It's simple and yet so complex. There are so many explanations, so many definitions. So we'll try to give you the best definition we can for today. Do you know how to pray? I remember when I was very little, I went to spend some time with one of my grandmothers, and she gave me something that you probably have seen before, something round, and then there is a little thing with a cross. They call rosary. And my grandmother put that in my hand and said, you have to pray this. And I thought, oh, probably she's going to ask me to pray this for the whole month or a whole year, because they're 53 of them, plus the one in between every 10, there is one. And so, but she said, no, I want you to pray this every day. So I memorized, and every day, and I mentioned this to you before, after a while, I found a way to say so fast that I could not even hear myself. And I will finish, and I'll tell Grandma, I'm done. And then she would look at me surprised, and then I'll go to the street to play with my friends. I did it because I had to. All the words that I said had no meaning for me at all. I repeat them so many times that I, even this day, more than 50 years, more than 60 years later, I still can remember them. Is that what the Bible says for us to pray? No. Prayer in the Bible is defined as a communication with God. How many times you have been talking to somebody and the phone rings and the person says, some of them say, excuse me, some don't even say, excuse me, and get the phone. And you wait, and the person kept talking. After a while, you say, you know what, I'll talk to you later, and you move away. Sometimes in prayer, I have seen people that sometimes they are praying, and somebody knock at the door, they just get up and go to the door, doesn't even tell God, excuse me, can I put you on hold for a second? We have to define our priorities. Prayer, there's three aspects of prayer: praise, confession, and petition. Sadly, most of the prayers that we do in our lives has to do with petition. I need, and goes on and on. And when we finish, I need, we say, by the way, my wife needs, my son needs, we keep asking. There's nothing wrong about asking. But remember, don't forget to be grateful before you ask for something. Praise God for everything that you receive. Ellen G. White says this, is very, very, very well known. On the chapter 11 of Step to Christ, which is entitled The Privilege of Prayer, she said, prayer is the opening of the heart to God as to a friend. Not that it is necessary in order to make known to God what we are, but in order to enable us to receive Him. Prayer does not bring God down to us, but brings us up to Him. When the Bible tells us to put God first, sometimes we think, oh, how can I put God first? Actually, it's about us. When we put God first, God takes us where He is. And when God is in first, because that's all, it's only place He is how He promotes us to His presence. And then we'll be first also. Step to Christ, page 93. Again, continue. Our prayers should be simple. Sometimes people memorize prayers. Sometimes they write prayers and they keep reading the same prayer. It's supposed to be simple. It's supposed to be earnest and comprehensive. I went one time as a guest to a particular church, and everybody, when it came the time of prayer, everybody started talking a different, they said it was a gift of tongues or something, but nobody could understand what they were saying. And then one person stood up and became the translator. And I was wondering how honest that person was, because I don't think nobody could understand all that noise that was going on, because they were not speaking in languages. They were just making noise. Let us learn to pray how? What that means? Something that can be clear, something that can be defined. Expressing our request again in a very clear way and precise way. Do you know why it has to be clear and precise? That means that you have to think before you ask. Don't just open your mouth and blah, 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 because I have to. But think before you ask. Because when you think before you ask, your asking becomes more precious. When you love somebody and that person has a birthday, do you say, give to that person anything? Or do you put some time, you dedicate time to think, what it would make this person very happy? So you put the time to it. It's just like I have a gift that I receive from my children that I value more than anything. Why? Because they put time to write, and that is what is precious when somebody invests and make a gift. Let us pray as though we mean it. All right? This is published in Ellen G. White, Our High Calling Devotional, in a page 130. Now, privilege of prayer. Also, he says, it is not about information. God does not need to be informed. Sometimes people are so, you know, try to explain all the details. By the way, Lord, would you bless my dog? You know, the white one, not the black one. The white one because we go into the such a detail like God needs all that. You know, it is not about information. God already knows our thoughts and our needs. He wants to talk to us. It is about preparation. Opening our minds prepares us to receive Him and His grace. And the third, it is about transformation. Rather than changing God's will to match ours, prayer changes us, lifting our perspective and aligning us with our Creator. Three steps. Make sure that you have information, you have preparation, and you have the desire for it to be transformed. If you are not willing to be changed, don't talk to God, because you talk to God, there is a great probability that He will change you for better, always. Here again, I'd like to give you, this was somebody else's idea. I just found and I just decided to share. I made my own application to it, but this is what it says. Acts. In other words, for you, the acts of prayer. Adoration. Praise God for who He is. How can you talk to Him if you don't spend time to know Him? So you first know God, then you talk to God. Because the more you know Him, the better will be your communication with Him. Adoration. Praise God for who He is. By the time we pray, very few of us spend time praying in adoration. Most of the time we spend praying in petition. So spend more time praising God for what you have, and you will start being surprised to receive things that you didn't even realize that you need. Confession. What is a confession? Confession is when a cable is broken because sin has caused damage to that cable, and you need to reconnect so that you'll be able to connect with God. So confession is sincerely confess your sins in order for your relationship with God can be restored. Thankfulness. Always be grateful. I like to say that gratitude is the GR attitude. What a GR stands for, in my opinion, God's redemptive attitude. That's gratitude. Expressing gratitude for all our blessings. How many of you will feel very scared if for 5 seconds you cannot breathe? Or if you look in the mirror and you start looking and you're becoming a little bit blue because oxygen. How many of you have taken time daily to say, Lord, thank you for the ability to breathe. Thank you so much for the gift of life. Oh, one little pain here, we say, oh, honey, can we call the dog? Oh. We make so much, one little thing, we make a drama. And we don't realize that we have so many blessings in life that we should be concentrated. When we concentrate in the good, the bad will pass by us, we will not even notice. The more concentrated on the goodness that you have received, the less pain you have in your life. Oh, I heard that. Did I hear any amen? Oh. Supplication. Bring in your specific, oh, it says specific, earnest request to him. So again, we praise God. That's number one. Then we confess our sins because we don't want our relationship to be broken with God. We don't want our sins to push us away from God. And thankfulness, expressing gratitude, and supplication, present to God our needs. This is a Bible verse that is very simple, but is so unique. Jesus said, ask and you will receive. Say it with me, because I don't want anybody to fall asleep now. Ask and you will receive. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. Have you noticed? Very simple. Ask. That's all it is right there. Ask. So Matthew 7:7. So next time you forget, very easy for you to remember. You're a Seventh-day Adventist, 7:7. Oh, what should I say? Every Sabbath I ask. Ask and you will receive. Search and you'll find. Knock. So again, you ask because you wish. You search, you get involved in the process. And when you knock, you act on it. And the door will be open. And what is the door here? Jesus Christ says, I am the door. So you find, search and you find the door. And Jesus also said this, therefore I say this to you. Whatever things you, again, ask. What is asking again? Remember what it's asking? Asking, seeking, and knocking. Okay, so therefore, every time you ask, every time you seek, every time you knock, when you pray, if you believe, then what do? You receive, and you will have them. Again, ask, knock, seek, ask, and you shall receive. Mark 11:24. Now, let's look into prayer. Pray according to His will. Sometimes people say, I pray, but I don't get anything that I ask for. The Bible says that every single time we pray must be according to His will, because only God knows what is good for us. Okay? So, pray according to His will. Here's the Bible text. And whatever we ask, again, we receive from Him because, why? We are in relationship with Him, with His will. We keep His commandments and do things that are pleasing in His sight. Again, ask according to His will. John here in 1 John chapter 3, verse 22, he sounds, in some people's opinion, very legalistic, because he says, you know what? In order for you to have your prayers answered, you must be willing to God, keep God's commandments. That's not what the text is saying. It's saying, if you're willing to serve Him, He's willing to serve you. That's basically what God is saying. Pray according to His will. 1 John 5, verse 14, it says, now this is the confidence, this is the assurance that we have in Him, that if, again, if what? We ask, we seek, and we knock. It says, if we ask anything according to His will, He will hear us. Let me turn this a different way. Can God give us something that is against His will? It's not possible. It's impossible for God to do what will harm us. God cannot harm us in any way. So if we ask anything according to His will, He will hear us. 1 John 5:14 again. Now, He knows our needs. But you, when you pray, go into your room not into the street corner like some Jewish people used to do, and they spoke very loud so everybody could pay attention to them and say, oh, that individual is so religious, look how he prayed. Now he says, go into in private, and when you have going to your room, shut the door, pray to your Father who is in a secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Matthew 6, 6 to 8. Verse 7 says this. When you pray, do not use what? Repetition. By the way, we are not Roman Catholics, so we're not going to be praying Hail Mary. Okay? But sometimes we misuse the Lord's Prayer. Because we use the Lord's Prayer the same way that the Catholics use Hail Mary. We just memorize and we turn it on and amen. We get up, we have no idea what we said because we just... How many of you have heard people coming to give opportunity to pray and they say, oh Lord, please forgive our sins and all our trespass in the name of Jesus, amen. And then 5 minutes later, you ask the same person to pray. The person prays exactly the same thing. Have you heard that? Have you done that? We all do that, those things. Sadly, we do. Especially sometimes when we pray for food. Sometimes our prayers, we can just tape it and just push a button and let it run. Because sometimes we say the same thing. Remember what we said in the beginning? It needs to be clear. Needs to be with a purpose. Think before you speak to God. If you have to visit a very famous individual, let's see somebody that you admire, a professor, a president, or a governor, somebody that you really admire, and then you receive this call that spend some time with the individual, is going to even have a dinner with this individual. What do you do? You need to make sure that you need to take a shower, get some new perfume, go clothing, and you spend money, invest. You are so preoccupied to impress that you come even depressed. Why do we spend so much energy to please another human being and so little, we're so careless when we approach the King of Kings, the Almighty One. So take time. Clear your mind. Make sure that it's nothing will distract you from this conversation with Him. Do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do or the bad people do. For they think that they will be heard if they kept saying blah, 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 blah many times. No, it doesn't work that way. Verse 8, therefore, do not do like them. Remember, your talk with God has to be unique. There's no two of you. It has to be your way. It's your God. It's your moment. Talk to Him about your needs. For your Father knows the things you have need of before you even ask Him. Have you noticed Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount used this expression, ask, ask, many times? Now, about everything, why should we not pray about it? According to the Bible, pray about everything. When you have that relationship with God, you want God to know about everything in your life. The same way you should say, I want to know everything about God. So pray about everything. I'm going to go on a trip, pray. And sometimes people say, I'm going to go on a trip, I pray because I don't want an accident to happen to me. It should have another reason even greater than that just for you to pray. Say, Lord, I like to pray for you because, you know, that trip that I talked to you about help me to be an instrument of blessing. Anybody that I meet, any circumstance that I'm put close to, allow me to be a blessing to others. Think about what great things you will be able to do instead of what bad things that may happen to you. Emphasize the positive. Put your life driven by purpose. And then you'll see that your life will be more meaningful. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Gratitude, gratitude. This is our scripture for today. Now here, I made this. Some of you may have a different list, okay? But I made this list and a circle of prayer. Pray for family. We always mention family, right? And by the way, there's two families. There is one by blood and there is one by faith. Pray for both families. Okay, invest time and pray for your family. A person who prays for somebody will not have time to gossip about the same person. When you wish good for somebody, you will not spend energy to reflecting on bad thoughts. Friends, yes, pray for your friends. We all do. Leaders in our church, in our country, in our state, in our community, pray for those that are their decisions are influencing us, affecting us. Community, do you live in Vista? Do you pray for Vista? Do you pray for the police force that is in Vista? Do you pray for the government of Vista? Do you even know who is the mayor of Vista? So that is important for us to pray for our community. But also the church is a community. Or where you work is part of your community also. Country. How many of us sometimes don't think, we take for granted all the blessings that we have. Pray for your country. Oh, the Bible says for us to pray for our enemies. Why should we pray for our enemies? Because we like to have less of them, right? So pray for those. The secret to turn my enemy into a friend is to pray. Pray for your enemies. And of course, put yourself on the bottom. Is the least important person in your list of prayer should be the self. When you pray about everything else, by the time when you arrive at self, he says, you know, I'm pretty good. I actually don't need that much. You'll be amazed that you'll be thinking less about selfish needs. We must believe God always hears. Yes, I can say to you, brothers and sisters, that He is listening. He is willing to listen to all your needs. Please ask. Talk to Him. Spend time talking to your God. The Scriptures tells us this. Pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean that we should spend all day. No. It should. Our mind should be always connected with God, no matter where we go, wherever we are. That's what is praying without ceasing. Talk to God about every decision you make. Always be joyful. And that helps. Never stop praying. Imagine that here it says, be joyful first, and then you pray. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 to 18. This does not mean that we are to spend all the time on our knees and praying. By the way, some people take this literally. Some denominations, people go to the mountains, stay there for months, and fasting and everything else. I don't think there's anything wrong about spending some time in meditation and praying and everything else. But God does not like extremists. I heard somebody saying this. God wants us to eat nuts, But God does not want us to become a nut. God never intends for us as Christians to become nuts. He wants us to enjoy nuts, eat them, it's healthy, but it's very unhealthy to become one. It does mean that we must live and serve our Lord in the atmosphere of prayer. Constantly have your mind connected with Him. Prayer in time of crisis. Everybody can know that when things are going bad, that is when we are more inclined to pray. Yeah, it's natural. It's a human nature. When we live under sin, that is something. But please don't let that control the reasoning when you need to pray. Here are some examples. This is Moses, at least. He, for a moment, felt insecure. And he even says, oh, how can I'm not qualified. And you can read that in Numbers 11, 14, and 15. And also Elijah, he also was afraid. By the way, I don't blame him. Have you heard about the lady called Jezebel? I don't blame Elijah. Even a man that was taken alive to heaven, a guy that has the power to say, fire, come down. And he run from the lady. And is mentioned, Jezebel is mentioned even in Revelation 2. She was a mean lady. So he was afraid. He was afraid of losing his life. And he asked God in 1 Kings 19, 3 and 4. He even asked, he was ready to die. Who do you think this one is? Those little dots in their head, in his head can give you a hint. Job, suffering. We all suffer. If you have not suffered enough yet, it's coming. Don't worry about it, it's coming. So we all suffer. Pain, it is part of being human. We will all go through. Job's words in Job 3 verse 4. He thought that it was all done to him by God. His wife said, yeah, it's God who is doing this to you. And then he got three friends from church to come to visit him when he was there in suffering a lot. And all those three members of the church says, you know what, Job? This is your fault. What a good friends. And he says, why did I not die at birth? Why didn't I not perish when? Why didn't my mom abort me? Why do I have to go through this always? And by the way, there's no doubt that he suffered. I don't know how any of us here would have survived if in one single moment you have the news that all your children are dead, that all your servants are gone, some of them killed. All the animal, all your property, everything that you have was taken away from you. How would you feel? Job 3 verse 4, he said this. And then, I have heard, this is, now we go 40 chapters later. This is what Job said. I have heard of you, talking about God, but the hearing of the ear. In other words, I heard of you there in church, Sabbath school lesson, or reading my own Bible. But then he says, but now my eyes sees you. Now that I went through this experience, I have a different concept of who really God is. This is beautiful, is Job 42 verse 5. Before I only heard about you, but as I went through suffering and you uphold me, now I know who you are. Really, I know who you are. Some people are tempted to believe that God sends us suffering to make us getting close to Him. That in English is called coercion. God doesn't do that. Okay? When we go through suffering, God is there to uphold our hand. And he says, don't fear this, my son or my child. You're going to go through this. I'm here right beside you. This is a good time for you to read Isaiah 41:10. Very beautiful verse. Always have that underlined in your Bible, because a Christ will come and you're going to need that. Isaiah 41 verse 10. You can read 13 as well. It's very good too. And the Lord restored Job's losses. When? When he was complaining, or when the church members were talking to him, or when his wife was complaining? No. When he prayed for somebody else. When he did not look at so much about his pain, what he lost, everything else, he took his eyes from his own self and looked into somebody else. Then everything changed. Let's learn, dear folks, about this. The more time you concentrate in your crisis, the more it hurts. When you turn your eyes in another direction, your brain helps you to cope with your own pain. Indeed, the Lord gave Job how much? Twice as much as he had before. In your face, Satan. He tried to do everything else because he thought that he was going to defeat him. And the Bible says that he lived a long life. He had beautiful children again. And of course, we cannot forget his wife. She suffered a lot too. Jeremiah. He was so disappointed. Do you know why? He made a prediction. It didn't come through. Imagine you're supposed to be a prophet. And you say, this is going to happen. Oops. How did I get it wrong? So he was so disappointed. And then he said this. Curse is the day I was born. Forget the day my mother gave me birth. Jeremiah 20 verse 14. Just like Job, he felt shame because what he had prophesied did not come to pass. But here is what Jeremiah left us. For I know the plans I have for you. All of us know this, don't we? Says the Lord, they are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Jeremiah 29 verse 11. This is beautiful. Read this to yourself once in a while. God is speaking to you as your friend. He says, I know the plans that I have for you. Before you were even born, Psalm 139 says this, before you were even born, he knew you. He knew all your days. Before your mom even met your father, God already knew you. Jeremiah says, but blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. And so he did. Jeremiah 17:7. So he has his moment of crisis, but he was lifted out of that. Pray in the Spirit all the times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be how? Persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Bless those who curse you and pray for those who mistreat you. Jesus said this before the day arrived when he was going to face some enemies. But now I tell you this, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. That's hard, isn't it? Forgiveness. Jesus answers this way. When he was there at the cross, Luke 23:34, he talked about forgiveness. And then the two robbers, one on the left, one on the right, he started saying, if you are really what they say that you are, why don't you come down and take us down with you too? And after a while, this went on and on and on. And people over there on the cross, on the foot of the cross, come down and we'll believe you. Come down. Of course, they were lying because he made many miracles and they did not believe them. And so one said to Jesus, this before Jesus says, Father, forgive them because they do not know what they are doing. He is following what his advice he gave, you know, pray for your enemies. And then this happens. He gave assurance to one of them because one of them said, Lord Jesus, remember me when you are in your kingdom. And Jesus said for him this way. And Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you today, I say to you today, okay, comma. So the comma goes second, not like every version that you find in English, the comma is this way. But in Jesus' thought, the comma goes in second place, okay? So this is the way it's supposed to say. Assuredly, I say to you today, you will be with me in the paradise. How do I know for sure, 100% sure, that that's the case? Because Jesus did not ascend to heaven. And the good thief there, he did not die on Friday either. That's why they went and took him down and broke his legs. So he would not run away on the Sabbath and hide somewhere or escape. So nobody went to paradise on that Friday. So Jesus says, I say this to you today. The word today, he means for sure, as you can hear me now, you'll be with me in paradise. Would you love to hear this as you pray? The Lord will say to you, my child, you will be with me in the paradise. It is one of the most beautiful promises that was right on the spot. A prayer, a request, an answer immediately. Luke 23:43. The sufferings we are now are nothing in comparison to what is coming to us. Paul says this in Romans 8:18. The sufferings we are now are nothing compared to the great glory that it will be shown to us. If you look in a mirror right now, sometimes you get a little discouraged, right? But wait until the day when the Lord comes, and in the twinkling of an eye, He's going to turn you into the most gorgeous person that ever lived. For that alone, you should go there, right? We're going to be just like our Heavenly Father. All the things that sin has brought upon us will be removed. Everything, all the damage that sin has done to us is going to be removed. And we will be just like our Heavenly Father in His image. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. And I will protect those who trust in my name. Is this talking about you? Say amen with gusto. Amen. He says, the Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. Amen. When they call on me, verse 15, I will answer. Why don't you talk to him? He said, I will answer, and he doesn't break his promises. I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue them, and I will honor them. I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation. Psalms 91, verse 14, all the way through 16. We are almost done here, brothers and sisters. When Jesus Christ said, pray that you will not give into temptation. There is a version of the Lord's Prayer that says, do not lead us into temptation. That's not possible. It's not possible for God to tempt anyone. I like the Brazilian, the Almeida version that says, do not let us fall into temptation, but protect us from the evil one. I like that version. And I believe that's the thought, because James 1:13 says clearly, no one when he's tempted say, I'm tempted by God. Jesus Christ is our symbol, our best example of what is a life of prayer is all about. Father, if you are willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. But look at the second part. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. Give me the strength to go through whatever comes in my life. So in whatever I have to go through, I will honor you by standing with confidence that you are with me. Jesus Christ is our ultimate model for the habit of praying. He prayed so much that one day his disciples came to him and says, teach us how to pray. And that's what the Lord's Prayer came all about. In the Bible, we have the essential direction of on how we should approach God. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. James chapter 5, verse 16, the last part of it. The person that pray and is righteous, they will bring beautiful results. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so God can heal you. When a believing person prays, what happens? Great things happen. Anybody here is committed about doing great things? All you have to do is to be a believing person. If you are a believing person, great things will happen in your life, around you, everywhere. People will like to say, I want to be with that person because every time I'm with that person, I'm blessed. Again, I'd like to share this with you again. If you did not take a picture, here is your opportunity. Pray to family. Pray to friends. Pray to the leaders. Pray to the community. Pray for your country. Pray for your enemies. And pray for self. I'd like to suggest something, because today you can get a phone, you can find things. Try to find out who are the leaders in your community. Sometimes you find out who they are only when they are begging for your vote, right? I don't know how many of you, I have received so many paper on my mail that I did not realize that, but I could keep them all in a bag and then go and sell them as paper. I got so much ink, so much, everybody, some of them saying, don't vote for this person is awful. I'm not as awful as this person, but even though I'm so awful talking about this person, but I want your vote. Try to figure out who you're voting for. Don't vote for a party. Vote for principles. Take the time. Don't be lazy. It's one of the greatest privileges that you have as a citizen of this country. Don't let yourself be influenced by a group or that group. Pray to God and live according to the principles that reflect that relationship with God. Be a person with purpose. Then your family will be a blessing. Then your friends will be blessed. The leaders of your community and your community will be blessed. Your country will be blessed. Even your enemies will become your friends. And then the self will be very happy. And this is the last slide that I have to you. It is a prayer in a very short word. Brother Calvin and your wife, you probably know this word because you used it every week. Can you say with me? Maranatha, come Lord Jesus. Yes, this is the most important prayer that we have to have because I don't know about you, but I'm anxious to go home. And I don't mean escondido. I mean the kingdom. Are you ready to go home?
Yes.
Are you? Some of you are want me to start again. Are you happy to go home?
Yes.
Say it with me, Maranatha.
Maranatha.
Come, Lord Jesus.
Come, Lord Jesus.
Amen. Let's sing when we all get to heaven.